Welcome to an emergency edition of the College Candidate Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Thamel, joined in Los Angeles by Paolo Ughetti, our West Coast college sports writer slash golf writer slash feature writer slash general extraordinaire writer. And as oftentimes with the draft upon us, college football has a way of pulling us back from the news cycle and making us ponder recent events. And here we are. It is Wednesday afternoon, and this morning the news broke that Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman Trophy back. This has basically been a generation-long saga that comes to a close today. Universally praised from what I saw certainly on social media, Paolo, and I'm wondering, waking up in LA on Wednesday morning, what the reaction was. You're a USC graduate. You've obviously covered the program for a long time. There's a visceral tie to Reggie Bush. What was the reaction that you had and the reaction out West that you felt?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was definitely a sense of this is long overdue, right? This has been coming for a while. The tides have been shifting for this to happen. And the fact that it finally happened, it all feels like a bit of a sigh of relief. I think the university feels that. They've slowly but surely been preparing, I think, for the possibility of this happening. And so the fact that it's finally official, I think, gave everybody, you know, something to celebrate, a sigh of relief, and just kind of reinstated that, I guess, energy maybe that Reggie Bush brought into the field back onto the program as well. So I think there's a lot of excitement and a lot of anticipation to see how this will play out in the following months and years to come.
So you've been to Heritage Hall dozens and dozens of times. Walk people through what it's like to walk in there and see those Heisman trophies, because I feel like that's like a tangible sign every day of what the Heisman Trophy means to USC.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They're proud of those trophies. They're proud of that history. Heritage Hall basically sits kind of in the middle of campus, and it's this room that's basically on each side. There's glass doors and windows, so you're basically seeing right through it on both sides. And you can see all of the accomplishments, all of the Heisman trophies that the university has won. And it's definitely something they like to show off, definitely something that is part of the program's identity. And all this time, Reggie Bush, his Heisman has not been there, right? And so I think it's felt like something's been missing from that showcase and that, you know, I guess, altar to college football at USC that's been there this whole time.
So to put this in context, O.J. Simpson's Heisman has remained there, God rest his soul, and Reggie Bush's was gone, which I think speaks to the anomaly of just, you know, how significant this decision was at the time and how significant this decision is to come back. You were in school, Paolo, and have covered the team sort of in some of these lost years post Pete Carroll. Reggie Bush sort of hung over the program. That was like an ideal that they were chasing. What do you remember about just like the myth of Reggie Bush and his sort of specter hanging over that program all these years?
It was so prevalent, and it was also, there was this definite dissonance, right? Because you would go out there and talk to recruits that USC was recruiting, and you talk to them about why they would want to go to USC or why they were interested in USC, and the first words that came out of their mouths almost 100% of the time was, Reggie Bush, watching Reggie Bush, growing up following Reggie Bush, having Reggie Bush jerseys. So his presence and his influence was so vivid, despite the fact that he was absent from the school's history in a way, right? And so I think it was very interesting to see how impactful he was without being associated to the university at that point. And I think that's what's so fascinating about this decision is, you know, what does this mean for USC going forward? I'm sure we'll talk about it. But the fact that he was so powerful while being outside of that space was really telling to me about how influential he was while he was at USC and the legacy that he left there. I mean, you talk to guys today, they would still say part of the appeal at USC is Reggie Bush because he embodied that kind of freewheeling, spirited, you know, electric type of football that USC played at that time that some would argue maybe has gone away. Some would argue it's coming back. And I think that's kind of the fascinating part about this too.
So June of 2020 was the 10-year anniversary of these NCAA sanctions, and he was allowed to come back on campus. You covered that to some extent at that time. That was probably right in the throes of COVID, if I remember right. Like, how big of a deal was that Reggie Bush could, like, physically reconnect with the school? I think he had been there for games because he had worked some for Fox.
Yeah,
but he hadn't been, like, a guest.
It was super weird at first, right, because it's like, well, this guy Yeah, he's been such a presence in college football, right? Calling games, being, you know, an analyst, and the fact that this whole time he couldn't even walk onto the campus. Now he could, right? I mean, there was a game that, you know, at the Coliseum, and he was able to be there too. And so just the fact that he was able to step foot back on campus, that felt like a step forward, right? It felt like, okay, this is moving in the right direction, and the energy that you could still see around that kind of reinforced, right, the kind of impact he had. And the kind of energy that he brought to the program, even while not being obviously a player or involved in any sort of way. I remember just everybody being so excited about it, everybody talking about it. It became a true storyline in companionship to the fact that the team was playing, right? It almost, I don't want to say that it overshadowed the actual football that was happening on the field, but it definitely felt that way in some ways, you know, because of how big of a presence he was.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah. Were you surprised that this happened? And what do you think led to this decision today, Paulo?
I definitely not surprised. I mean, last year in August, I mean, one of the parts that's really fascinating is we're only, what, 2-3 years removed from the NCAA basically doubling down on the fact that they would not reinstate the Heisman to Reggie. And last year in August, Reggie and a couple of his lawyers called a press conference announcing a defamation lawsuit against the NCAA, right? So it's been contentious. So I'm not surprised that this happened, because it felt like I said, all the momentum was trending in this direction, given the way that college football is nowadays. But the fact that it kind of happened this quickly, I mean, it is interesting, because like I said, just, you know, less than a year ago, Reggie announced that he was planning on suing the NCAA for defamation. So very curious to hear how, you know, that all shook out and what's the state of that now, but definitely not surprised. I mean, it's been mentioned plenty in terms of just now with name, image, and likeness, NCAA feels it's rightful to return the Heisman to Reggie. And I think in some ways it's kind of funny, because it's like, this could have been done two years ago when NIL first kind of came into the picture, but the fact that it took this long kind of also shows the way maybe the NCAA works and maybe the way they're trying to work going forward as well.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting, right? I went back and read part of the lawsuit that he filed against the NCAA. And obviously the Heisman and the NCAA are two separate entities. The Heisman, I felt like, used the NCAA as a bit of a shield when it pulled and said, well, if the games didn't count and the stats didn't count, we have to pull it at the time. Now, they didn't technically pull it. Reggie forfeited it, right? Like, that was actually like the language from 2010 when this happened. But I feel like Reggie was subtly applying pressure in different ways. His lawsuit against NCAA, quite frankly, was very flimsy. It was like a spokesman used the phrase pay for play. It was inaccurate, so I'm certainly not forgiving that, but it was not the basis of a defamation lawsuit. Like, it was a clumsy statement that he and his lawyers, from reading it back, I was kind of chuckling and rolling my eyes. Like, they were clearly looking for attention, in my opinion. They were clearly trying to beat the drum for a moment like this. That's what that lawsuit felt like reading over it again this morning while I was working on this. But I do think some of the drama and the buildup and going through those lengths, right? If you're a public figure, filing a lawsuit is a giant pain in your tail. And it's expensive. And Reggie Bush has spent a lot of money on lawyers the past, you know, the decade of this whole saga. So I felt like, Paulo, that it spoke how much this meant to Bush. Like, he wanted this. And is that the sense you got, that some of the histrionics around this, really at the core, this was something he felt like he deserved?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you talked about that lawsuit, and I agree. It definitely had a bit of a flimsy vibe to it. But if you you go to the press conference. So I went to the press conference in August, and you could tell that that was kind of the point of it all, right? Like, it wasn't so much about the lawsuit. It was about standing up at the top of the Coliseum, right? They rented out that space above the field to almost, like, signify and showcase how Reggie was a part of, you know, USC history and had been removed, right? His number was not on the grandstands like the other Heisman winners. And so, like, there was definitely this sort of picture that they were painting, right, with these emotional statements they were giving, with putting Bush up there and having him talk about what, you know, the Heisman means to him, how he wants it back, and how he feels like he's been wrong. All of those things, right, they're painting this picture, right? They're painting this picture of Reggie's been wrong, which, you know, like you said, there's widespread approval to that in some ways nowadays. But, you know, they wanted to double down on it. They wanted to really hammer home the fact that this needed to be fixed, and putting Bush out there as a voice to be like, you know, this means so much to me. And you could tell that he wanted maybe not just to be a part of the program again, but sort of to be restored in the context of football history. I mean, I'm sure as he's getting older, he's thinking about legacy. He's thinking about history. He's thinking about his place in the game. Part of that's the Heisman, right? And so, however that process needed to shake out, I mean, you're right. There was a lot of money spent on lawyers. I'm sure there was a lot of time invested into all this. And the fact that, you know, finally paid off, I'm sure must be completely relieving to him in terms of, like you said, getting the Heisman back from the Heisman Trust and being able to at least move forward with that part of his career.
So pushing forward to tomorrow, so that's going to be Thursday, there's another press conference at the Coliseum.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like, in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Yeah, definitely. Given how that first press conference went, where it was a lot of, you know, kind of grandstanding, I'm sure this one will be, you know, this proves us right. This kind of reaffirms Reggie's place in college football history and USC history. And you can kind of tell that school is also, you know, party to that as well, right? They seem like they've been preparing for this moment for a while, right? In terms of the videos they're putting out, the graphics, the way that they're rolling out this campaign, it's almost like their campaign for when they sign a new recruit, right? It's, you know, they're going all out. They're really, you know, showing out and making sure that everybody knows, okay, Reggie's back and he's part of the program. And honestly, that's part of the appeal too for USC, right? I mean, we talked earlier about how a lot of these recruits coming up, they still gravitate toward that. And those images of Reggie Bush, you know, having the game against Fresno State or the Bush pressure, things like that. And so, now the school will be actually able to use him in some ways as a resource, right? And in some ways as a unofficial recruiting tool, if you will, going forward, which will be very interesting to watch.
I thought it was pretty telling that Carol Folt, the president, was the first person quoted in USC's statement. Like, that speaks to this is more than a sports thing. This is another thing. Can I indulge here with my favorite Reggie Bush story from covering him?
Please. Let's hear.
It was the Rose Bowl national title game. USC practiced at USC. Practices were open to pretty much everybody but media and everybody else. And there was the usual sort of cadre of celebrities there. Beautiful, sunny, you know, December day in LA. And the rappers Kid and Play were among those there. Now, you probably are a little bit young to remember Kid and Play, but they're around in my childhood. One of them, and truthfully, I don't remember which one, had this like huge box top afro. It was like a top hat. And that was kind of like this, that's just signature of Kid and Play. So anyway, Reggie and Lynn Dale were like surrounded by the groups of beat writers after, and USC back then was awesome. They're still very good about media access. But back then, I mean, you had time with anybody and everybody. Pete Carroll would sit on a picnic table and talk to you for an hour after. And Reggie and Lynn Dale notice Kid and Play, and that, you know, they're 21-year-old kids. They're excited, and Reggie taps Lynn Dale, and he's in the middle of a scrum. He goes, "Hey, which one's kid, which one's play? And I always just thought about that in like, where else? Like, this isn't happening at Auburn. This isn't happening at, you know, Ohio State, right? I think that speaks a little bit to who Reggie Bush was at the time. When you trace the history of college football and it being ushered from like this awesome regional sport to this juggernaut national sport, like Reggie Bush is one of, to me, one of the most significant on-field engines when you look back from like a 30,000 foot, you know, from a 30,000 foot lens in all this. And I mean, I looked up some of his stats this morning, and the one that stood out to me was his total yardage from his junior year, counting receiving, rushing, and kick returns, and he returned a lot of kicks, was 2,890 yards. Like, that's mind-boggling to have that amount. Now, he led the nation in that season. I can't tell you if that's, like, more than anybody's had in the last 20 years, but my mind literally popped reading that. And think about how many games they were up by four touchdowns at halftime, and he didn't get in. And from scrimmage for his career, he averaged more than 8 yards a touch, which is just speaks to the rare burst. I mean, it's just – it's all, like, mind-popping, really fun stuff. So – We'll wrap around here, Paul. You hinted at it earlier. What does this mean for USC going forward? How does the school use this? It's obviously a significant, powerful day. I think Lincoln Riley called it historic in the release. What does this mean for USC?
Well, like you said, I think what's unique about Reggie is he transcended the sport, right? I mean, in a sport that is often so much about the coaches and less about the players that are rotating in and out every year and going to the pros, Reggie Bush felt like bigger than that, right? Because of his play, his personality, his style, all that. And I think now USC can use that even more so to their advantage. They're obviously in a process where they're trying slowly but surely to get back to that point where they were competing for national titles, you know, bringing in top recruiting classes and being one of the most exciting and powerful teams in the country, right? And so I think Reggie just adds to that in some way. I'm curious to see how they utilize him, how he's willing to be utilized, how he's willing to be a part of the program in any way. I'm sure when he shows up at practice the first time, that will be a big deal to the current players and future players. When he shows up to a game this fall, that'll be a big deal. USC is going to celebrate this, and they're going to find a way to coast off of this in some way. And I don't mean that in some kind of negative way. I just mean naturally, right? It's one of the biggest names in college football history. They're going to inevitably have him join into what they're trying to build, what Lincoln Riley's trying to build. Very curious to see how that happens, but I think it could be a good thing for the program going forward. And looking forward to seeing, you know, what impact it has on recruits, what impact it has on, you know, the day-to-day of the program in any sort of way. So it'll be fun to watch for sure.
Yes, truly he transcends sports, because my wife saw the news on Instagram this morning. She was like, oh, he used to date one of the Kardashians. So
there you go.
I couldn't tell you which Kardashian. She couldn't tell you who drafted Reggie Bush. It's sort of the perfect symmetry there. So, Paul, I think our work here is done. I appreciate you hopping on the College Game Day podcast today. Enjoy the draft. We'll round back soon to chat Caleb Williams in the NFL. Appreciate you dropping by.